welcome back to our podcast. Me and my dad Gerhard are back with another episode with a very interesting guest. Papa, please say hello before I forget you.
Hi.
In our last episode, we had an international guest, Jose Romero, with whom we talked about generations, the challenges between them, and he also coached us a bit at the end. And he also reminded us how important curiosity is, and that we should cherish it and let it grow. And our guest today is also very special. I'm very pleased to announce that we have Sarah MacArthur here today, and I'm really looking forward to our dialogue and also what we can learn from you, Sarah. For listeners, as a short introduction, Sarah MacArthur is editor-in-chief of the Leader to Leader Journal and also the executive producer of Defining Moments, which reminds of Frances Hesselbein, who was the former CEO of the Girl Scouts, and she also received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Sarah has also worked as COO with Marshall Goldsmith, a very important master coach, and she has also edited and wrote many book projects. Thank you, Sarah, for joining us today. I'm very excited for a conversation, and now I'm just going to give the word over to you to let you introduce yourself a bit to get the listeners to get to know you a little better.
Wonderful. It is so nice to be here. I've been looking so forward to joining you today. The introduction, absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much. I've read a little bit about both of you, and I love your topic of generational communication and how we go forward together. Right up my alley. Absolutely right up my alley. Everything that you said about me, that's exactly what I do. Leader to leader, communication is what I'm all about, and I'm thrilled to be here.
Okay, amazing. Thank you. Let's start with the first question. And I've already introduced it a bit to you, but I just wanted to ask you what your overall view and experience is with the different generations. So the older ones, your own generation, and also the younger ones. Just tell us what you think of them. And
Wonderful. Wonderful. I love that question. I am very fortunate to have been friends with and the granddaughter of centenarians. So I've known a couple of people who have reached over the age of 100. Frances Hesselbein passed away in 2022. She was 107 years old. And so she was born in 1915, and she passed away in 2022. So Frances saw 107 years of everything that's happened in the world. My grandfather, who I knew all my life, he passed away at 103 in 2014. And one of the things that I learned from Huey, my father's father, is courtesy, respect. He really taught me about being aware of other people, as did Francis. So that's one of the things that I really learned from both of them, is awareness of other people, respect, you know, being having good manners. It was just as simple as having good manners, saying hello, please, thank you, goodbye, I'm leaving now. Just this wonderful way that they had of being with people respectfully. Then, you know, my parents, I have that wonderful generation who were a little more, they were closer to me in age, for one thing, and they were, more explorative. So for me, maybe it's because I'm closer in age to them. I'm not sure what it is, but they seem so adventurous, and they explore, and so creative, both of them, where my mother was an artist, and she directed the program at San Diego State, the ALI Institute for English as a Second Language. So we were constantly around wonderful people who didn't always speak English. You know, they were from all these different countries around the world. And she took me and my sister, and my stepfather. We drove around the world when we were young and traveled the world in a Volkswagen van. So my mom was very adventurous, very literary. My father is just a great explorer and businessman, entrepreneur. So I learned a lot about leadership and entrepreneurship from him. And then, of course, there's me. We can get more into me later. And then there's the younger generation, who I absolutely adore. Absolutely adore. And I just, my whole life now is dedicated and has been, you know, for my whole life has been dedicated to carrying this torch of that Francis carried for so long, and Alla Mulally carries, and Marshall Goldsmith carries this torch of respect for all people, leadership, stakeholder-centered leadership, including everyone, so that we are all going forward in a positive direction together as much as possible, including everyone. And so, for the younger generation to not only include the younger generation in where we're going, but also to teach the younger generation these principles that Frances's grandmother taught to her, Frances taught to me and everybody that she knew. And then we carry the torch that you, Rebecca, and your sister, and everybody younger, know these principles of character, because it's those principles of character that are consistent across the generations. The external circumstances and everything that's happening in the world, not consistent. You know, we have new tools, you know, improvements. We're doing all these things all the time. What is consistent is what my grandfather and Francis taught us, that consistency of character that doesn't change.
Yeah, that's a great explanation.
And sorry, Rebecca, but
No, go ahead.
I was seeing loving you when Sarah was speaking about saying hello, saying thank you, saying goodbye, because my wife and myself got feedback from our neighbors that our daughters are, yeah, not the only ones around us here in the place where we live, but they were kind of role models compared to others in their age, saying always hello, saying always goodbye, and yes, please, thank you. And this is, I think, what you said also, Sarah, that this is something I think you need to learn that from your parents as a role model also. And this is then something which is really consistent.
Yeah, that engagement with those in our environment, you know, to acknowledge, that's what great leaders do, is great leaders see those around them and people feel like they're seen. And so when we teach that and role model that to the younger generation, then that's going to continue. And we're all going to see each other in a way where we can work together towards a bright future.
And it costs nothing to say hello or goodbye, because this is something which everybody can say, and it is something where you can make a person a day where he is be there, or he's then also happy when someone is coming in the morning and say yes with a smile, good morning, hello. And this is something which makes sometimes really the difference. And we had a discussion with Jose today morning, where he says also that, this is really this positive energy. Only to say to someone a goodbye can, or hello, or goodbye, or thank you, can make really a difference. And maybe you can say also something how you feel this, Rebecca, because you are the generation we speak about.
Like my dad said, they've always taught us to, be polite to other people. And I've also carried this through my life and will also teach my children to be polite to others and say hello and thank you and please, because I believe it's just common sense to do so, to be polite. And yeah, I can just agree with the statements that you made. And I can't really add anything to it other than I believe in this too. And like you said, it doesn't cost anything. It's not hard to greet someone or to say goodbye. Yeah, so I wanted to ask you more about Francis. I know we talked about this in our call before this whole podcast thing was happening. But you know, also for our listeners, that you tell them more about her, what she has done also for the women in America, and you know, about her reformation also in leadership, especially also for women. So yeah, please let us know more about her.
Oh, wonderful. You know, I love talking about Frances. I love Frances with all my heart, all my heart. And so Frances, she was born in 1915 and passed away in 2022, so lived to be 107 years old. She was born and raised in Western Pennsylvania. In a place called Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And she lived there for the first 50 or 55 years of her life. She was the loving wife and mother to John Hesselbein and Johnny Hesselbein, her son. And she was asked, she always says she was sort of trapped or cornered by a friendly woman who asked her to please take on a troop. A Girl Scout troop. And Frances, in the beginning, she said, "I don't know little girls. I have a little boy. I can't do this." And the woman kept asking her. And finally, Frances said, "Okay, yes, I will do it. I'll take on this Troop 17 for just a few weeks until you find somebody who really knows little girls." And Frances took those little girls all the way through high school. So she stayed with Troop 17. She took on different positions, volunteer positions in Girl Scouts, different positions of leadership. And then in the 1970s, she was invited to come to New York to interview for the CEO position of the Girl Scouts. And this would be the first time that someone from inside the Girl Scouts would be CEO. And so this was a big deal. And at first she said, "No, I like my life here, what we're doing. I don't want to do that. And they're not gonna select me anyway because they've never done this." And her husband, John, said, "Perfect job for you. I'm driving you to New York." And so he drove her the 5 or 6 hours. He loved New York. So he drove her the 5 or 6 hours to New York from Western Pennsylvania. And she interviewed for the position and she knew she wasn't going to get it anyway. And so she laid out the complete transformation of the Girl Scouts from where it was at the time, where it was de a declining organization because the focus was very limited. Their participants and membership was very limited. And so she laid out the complete transformation of the Girl Scouts. And when she left, you know, John said, "How did it go?" And she said, "Oh, it was so much fun. I had the best time. Laid out the complete transformation of the Girl Scouts. They're not going to hire me." Day goes by and they said, "We'd like you to come to New York." So she moved to New York and she spent the next, I think it's 12, 13 years, transforming the Girl Scouts into tripling minority membership, so including everyone, so that when Girl Scouts or young girls who wanted to be a Girl Scout, when they look at Girl Scouts, we can see ourselves. So she had the handbooks changed to include all different types of little girls from all cultural backgrounds. Tripled minority membership, raised the total membership in Girl Scouts to 2.25 million girls. She brought in STEM, so they were teaching girls STEM. So not to get rid of, the homemaking that had been the focus of Girl Scouts, sewing and cooking and things like that, but to expand it to leadership, science, math. So really bringing the girls this wonderful, expansive knowledge and education and leadership that they may be really a participants and leaders going forward in their lives. And when she left the Girl Scouts in 1991, she had met Peter Drucker and had brought him. He was volunteering. He loved what Frances was doing, said she was one of the she was the greatest CEO he'd ever met. So he was volunteering with the Girl Scouts. He came in and taught the Girl Scouts about leadership. And when she left Girl Scouts, within a couple of weeks, she and Peter founded the Peter F. Drucker Foundation for Nonprofit Management. And their goal and focus was to strengthen leadership in the social sector because Peter felt that the social sector may be the sector that saves humanity going forward. With their mission focus, so the nonprofits are so mission focused. And so they did that for a number of years. And Frances then worked with the military. She worked with the Army and West Point. She gave speeches and courses and workshops around the world, corporate America, around the world, businesses. So she was influencing and impacting all of us with her humility, love and service, character-based respect for all people leadership for decades. And what I love is that people didn't even know the impact and influence that she was having, helping to change leadership from that command and control leadership that we needed in the industrial age, that we needed in the industrial age, it worked just fine, to what we need today, which is inclusive, stakeholder-centered leadership, working together leadership that we need today and going forward. So that's just a little bit of history about Frances and what she's done, what she did for all those years.
Little bit of history. You're also working with the generations, and you have also said how important young people are for you, and you are part of Leader to Leader, a program where you publish articles also of younger people. And now we're going to shift the focus to you a bit. And yeah, so just tell us about yourself and how this project came to be and what you want the younger people who write articles for this program to take away, and then also others who read the articles, because you're also creating a platform for, I think, especially the younger people.
Absolutely. And I love it. So Frances, she was all about Bright Future. And Bright Future is where we are creating value and growth for all. We are going towards a bright future, positive leadership going in a positive direction. Everyone is included. And Frances was the editor-in-chief of Leader to Leader from 1996 until she passed away. And we were co-editors in chief for a number of years there before she passed away. And then when she did pass away, I became editor in chief. And it seemed like, Frances was always including younger people, teaching younger people, always in such a loving way where I was one of the younger people when I met Frances. I just wanted to follow her and be everything that I could be in this world, contribute and serve in this world. And that's because of what she taught me and who she, encouraged me to become. And so recently, a few years ago, a couple of years ago, I thought, you know what we need is in our leader to leader, it's wonderful, amazing contributors and articles and so focused on the positive and including everyone and how we go forward in all these different areas across the sectors and with all our tools and AI and everything that's happening. Wouldn't it be neat if we included the people who are going to be around in 70 years, 50 years? Wouldn't it be neat if they were sharing with us what is important to them? And it's to me, it came as a thought about, when I look at you, Rebecca, I see you as a person who is the decisions and choices that you make today are creating your bright future of tomorrow. So who you are and the decisions that you make today going forward are going to create your future, and how important it is that one, we're exampling for you how to make decisions that are kind, compassionate, convicted. We have strong convictions of inclusion and principles, and how important it is that we example that for you, and also how important it is that you, as I've found this new term not too long ago. It's called digital native. Digital natives are people who, like me, I'm a telephone native. I grew up with a landline. That's what I know. Right? People before us, they didn't have a landline. They didn't grow up with telephones. So I'm a telephone native. I'm a landline native. You're a digital native. You were brought up in this. And how important it is to include your perspective as someone who's got a different perspective because of that from, people who don't have that perspective. And so I really wanted to start this bright future section in our journal where younger leaders can share with each other and with the rest of us who are not from that generation, your thoughts about what's happening now, what you're learning. What you think about going forward into the future, what's important. Your perspective is incredibly important, not just because it's different from ours, but or others, but because whatever decisions and choices you make today are creating your future of tomorrow. And that is so important.
Amazing said.
Yeah, I compare it always a little bit with sports. You know that I'm a sporty person. I do Iron Man, which is also a famous format from US coming. And I think always myself also why I do this at the moment, the training I do right now, because of when race day is there and I stand on the start line. This is what I do for today, which means I really want to be in the best shape on this day. And this is, I think, what you said also, Sarah, that it is the decisions you make today give you then hopefully also a really perfect future, the future you want for yourself. And I think this is really I don't know if you can compare it, but it is somehow comparable. This is how I do it. But that's, I think, a little bit of a similarity here.
Absolutely. It's Francis would always say, it is the quality of our character that determines our performance and results. So, who I am today, the decisions and choices that I make consistently aligned with the character I have, is going to determine my success, my performance in the future. So if today you decide, you know what, I don't feel like doing something, I don't feel like running today, in a couple of weeks that may come back and get you when you're in a tryout, when you're doing your triathlete races, that's going to come back and get you. So it's who I am, the quality of my character will determine my performance and results. Right? So I don't have to worry about my performance and results today or, in the future. I just do today what is within my character. Maintain that consistency of decisions and character.
Yeah. Maybe what I would be interested in, Sarah, and I don't know if you want to share this, but what I'm really curious about is when you met Francis the first time, what was that for a situation? Was it I don't know, what was that? Was it in an event, or was it where was that?
Oh, I don't know if you know how much I love talking about Frances. I always feel like she's right here with us every time I'm talking about her. I can feel her smiling. So Frances, I was the chief operating officer of Marshall Goldsmith Inc. for a long time. And I decided that I really wanted to bring together thought leaders about leadership and what they saw in their areas and what they thought about us going forward, leadership in their areas going forward. So corporate leaders, government leaders, educators, nonprofits, and they would write an essay about leadership, where they were at and what it would be like, what they thought going forward. And so one of the people that I asked to contribute to this book, it's called the AMA Handbook of Leadership, with Marshall Goldsmith and John Baldoni. One of the people that I asked to contribute was Frances Hesselbein. And I knew of Frances before that. I've had little conversations with her and working with Marshall, but I hadn't met her in person yet. So everybody turns, they send in their articles. I'm reading all these articles. They're all wonderful. Read lots of leadership early in the morning, having my cup of tea, doing my reading before, I like to read before I can really think too much so I can hear what somebody else is saying before I start to think. And so I'm reading these articles. I get to Francis's, and it is the first article about leadership that ever made me cry. It made me cry because in it, Frances was writing about her leadership and respect for all people. And I thought, if Frances can be who she is and lead how she does, so can I with this respect for all people. If she can do this, so can we. And not too long after that, Marshall invited me to go to New York, and I asked Frances if she would go to lunch with me. And so we went to lunch and had a long, beautiful, wonderful lunch. And of course, Frances, every time we met, and she would do the same thing with you, she did this with everybody she met. But every time we met, we'd have lunch, she'd put her hand on my arm, she'd look me directly in the eye, and she would say, "What do you see when you look out the window that's visible but not yet seen by others?" And that was her question to for us to look at: what's our call to service? What's our purpose? What's our mission? What do I see? What am I constantly talking about? And for me, I was constantly talking about, I think there's an issue with communication, and I think I can help with that. And so that has become people working together towards a bright future. Like, what is the challenge in all of this? What is the challenge and opportunity in people working together? Well, it's about communication. It's about how we relate to each other and engage with each other. It's back to that. Do I say hello? How are you? Do I engage with people? So yeah, Frances taught me so much, and that was that moment where I read that article, when I read that article and just started crying, because that is the leadership that I just absolutely will follow anywhere.
Yeah. also talked about communication, and you kind of took away the question I wanted to ask you. Yeah, we've also always talked with our guests about this topic, and we're kind of always coming to the conclusion that with di digitalization and the overwhelming supply of it, the younger generations are also kind of not learning how to communicate properly in person anymore, because it's all over their phone and computer and everything, and it gives more possibilities to talk to other people in different parts of the world like we're doing here. But do you think that this problem exists and that we should also communicate properly more in general in the society and not only just between the generations?
Absolutely. I think communication is so important. It's so important. It's how the world turns. You know, without communication, the world doesn't turn. Francis would say communication isn't saying something, communication is being heard. And what I see today is that because things go so fast and because it's in a text or, you know, in ChatGPT or whatever the communication is, the words coming at us are, there isn't as much engagement. Like here today, we're having significant engagement, right? It's digital, we're virtual, but we're having engagement. And while I don't think that it's bad to have, all these different forms of communication, I also think it's so important to be aware of the pitfalls of communicating only digitally. I got a master's in publishing from George Washington University. Again, I am not a digital native, and I took a lot of the online classes. And a lot of the other people were more digital natives. And what I found, it was so fascinating to me. We would have an online class, and the professor would be on video and give a lecture and then maybe ask some questions. And everyone had their videos off, and they were all muted. How do you know somebody hears you? If they're not nodding, if they're not giving you eye contact. And then the professor would ask a question or two, and no one would answer. They'd stay off video, they'd stay muted. That to me is, learning is a two-way street. Learning isn't just me learning from you. Learning is a two-way street. That's the power of what we do here. And that is something I think addressed. That'd be a fun article, right? That's something to definitely to be addressed going forward, as it is, that's an easy one to see. What are some of the challenges in communication in our virtual world? Well, everybody's got their video off and they're muted. How do you're not communicating if you can't see people. I don't think. Are you? I don't think so. So.
Yeah, it's definitely something to consider, and I also think because of digitalization that proper communication is kind of lost, and it's replaced by this screen that we have in front of us all day. And I also think we should communicate more and also learn how to communicate correctly. And we've also talked today with Jose when we had our other episode. And he said how important active listening is. And really, since he is a coach, he also said that you really need to listen 70% of the time. And then 30% of the time, it's about asking questions and finding the problem and really helping the other person. So yeah, I think that's also something to really take away. What would you advise the younger generations to pay more attention to, not only communication, but also maybe even regarding leadership or finding their own potential? What can you give us at advice?
Well, for me, communication is really important. And also finding role models who, like I found Frances Hesselbein, who I felt so comfortable following. Finding role models and reaching out to people. I think, what did I do when I wanted to learn from Frances? Called her up, asked her if she would be my mentor, and she said, I would be honored to actively search out and seek out people who, leaders and people who I really want to be like or learn from. I think that's really important. For younger people, absolutely.
Yeah, I can only agree with that. Jose also asked me today because he did a kind of coaching at the end, and he also asked me when I talk to older people, what is the first thought that comes to mind and how I interact with them. And I told him that I also like to seek advice from them. I talk to my grandmas a lot. I am glad to still have both of them. And I also volunteered in an old people's home, and I had very interesting conversations with the people there because they have so much advice to offer and experience. And like my dad always says, we should combine the curiosity of the younger generations with the experience of the older generations and work together and not always have this kind of these presumptions about each other and look down on others. And that's also what Jose also said, that we should just work together. And it's also, I think, something very important to mention.
Yeah, I remember the first time, or one of the first times when I realized that my mom, my mother, was just a human. I had put her on this pedestal and expected more from her than anybody else because I don't know, I had put her on a pedestal. And I remember when I realized that she's a woman just like me. Just like me, a woman making her way in the world with relationships, with leadership, with friendships, in her community, in her personal life. She was a woman in the world just like me. And what a gift that was. First, I put her on that. I love my mother. I just thought she was the most beautiful woman in the world, besides Frances, of course. And then to realize that some of the things that happened in her life or the decisions that she made, she was just a woman, just a human, just like me. I loved that.
That's always where I see also these fantastic leaders in the world. And you spoke about some of them, Ellen Mullally, for example. I always, of course, I know that there is a big company in the back and they have their shareholders. A lot of different circumstances influence them. But finally, I think it's only a human being. It is something we don't have to forget. Because, yes, of course, he deals with this very specific situation in his way, but finally, when he is alone, he is a human being. And this is what I feel always to say, yeah, of course, you are a CEO, but don't forget, please, that you have also the right to live your life because you are a human. And I think this was a fantastic statement from your end, Sarah. that we don't have to forget on the end of the day, there is another human on the end of the table, or where we have now our conversation on the screen. On the other side, there is a human. And I think this is really important, what maybe a lot of people forget sometimes. And but for me, this is something, maybe sometimes I make it too easy. It's only my way, how I want to explain it to people, because this is how I see it.
Alan and I do a lot of work together on his our working together leadership and management system. And we're currently writing a book with Marshall, so we're nearly there. And what Francis showed me was complete alignment of person and purpose. And what Alan has shown me is, again, complete alignment of person, of who he is, and purpose, his role in the world. And what he's also provided for us, which he designed and implemented at both Boeing and then later at Ford, is our working together leadership and management system, which Alan led to great success at both Boeing and Ford. The system is a culture that enables us to be the kind of people that we want to be. It enables us to be people who do communicate, who are of humility, love, and service, who do get to use our talents and our skills to create amazing things like the Boeing 777. The Ford F-150 and the Defining Moments documentary, the Leader to Leader journal. I mean, that what he designed and led and created with our Working Together leadership and management system is why Francis Hesselbein in 2006 recognized him as our leader of the future. She said, now, because of what he's done and the system that he's created, that's our way forward. To go together forward, it's working together, leadership and management system. And so I'm extraordinarily excited to have known and worked together with and everything with these three great leaders. To me, are the trifecta of stakeholder-centered working together leadership and management, which is Marshall Goldsmith. He basically teaches us how to say please and thank you, our habits, how we change our behavior. Francis Hesselbein, who we are, our behavior, who we are and how we do is so important. And then Alan Mulally with our system, our leadership and management system to create that culture where we get to be those people that we want to be and work together. So it's an extraordinary life that we get to live.
Rebecca.
I'm actually done with all the questions that I kind of gathered. But yeah, do you have any questions that you want to ask Sarah? Anything still?
Well, yes, I would love to know, Rebecca, a little bit about your going forward, because you learn from so many people with these podcasts that you're doing and then in your life. I would love to know just a tiny snippet about where you're headed, where
Yeah,
your
so
focus is.
I'm currently doing the podcast and I'm still a student, but I do want to continue this project. And when I'm done with my bachelor, I'm gonna do my master in Vienna in Austria. But I still, I want to do anglistics, so study the English language, culture, history, and everything. And but I still want to continue with this project that we have here because I, like you said, I've learned so much from the guests that we have on here. And I also think that me and my dad get along better because we're talking about all these conflicts that we had and topics that just interest us both, and we can kind of create a connection and understand each other better, and also with the knowledge and experience from other people that we have invited here on this podcast, and the guests that we're gonna have in the future, I feel like I can also grow as a person, and just get to know other people better and learn from them. And I think it's just a really great opportunity. And I also maybe want to get into coaching a bit. I think that it's really interesting, and of course I learn a lot from my dad, and he also always uses his coaching techniques on me and my family. Sometimes it's a bit annoying, but that's how he is, and he really loves what he's doing. And it's also very interesting, and I might pursue something like that in the future as well. So yeah.
Wonderful. Love to hear that. Love to hear that. Communication coaching.
Yeah, very interesting also for me. Yeah.
And Jared, how about you?
I spoke really today with Rebecca after
Yeah.
the other recording we had, and I told her that I think she's in a really fantastic situation, aged 20, because she has the chance now to meet all these fantastic persons I know at the moment. And this format itself, we heard it also from others, is really unique. A daughter and a father doing this, bilingual also. And my plan is, this is only my plan, is to make her really one of the best coaches in the world, aged 30, something like that. Because I'm reaching really out to also the top gurus at the moment to see if how they can contribute to our podcast, to our format also, but also to learn from them. And I think this is really one of the most important thing. Like Marshall Goldsmith said, I don't compare myself with Marshall Goldsmith, but he has a mission and he wants to share all his knowledge he has with the world to make the world a better place also. And I don't want to have this huge goal, but I really want to help other people with my experiences I had, and they were not all positive. There were also a lot of negative experiences and mistakes that they avoid exactly these situations in their life. And this is really what makes me smile in the morning. Of course, I'm getting older and it's not so easy to get up, but if I think then about the podcast or the work I do with other persons, people, yeah, this is amazing, this is fantastic, and this is what I really want to make a difference in the world. Yes.
Wonderful. Love to hear that. Love to hear that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And you guys are helping us a lot coming into our podcast, of course. And thank you very much again, sir, for your time. And I don't know if there is a final statement or sentence from your end. This is, I think, the time now. But if not, Rebecca is doing then also the outro. And we are more or less then coming to the end.
Well, I just want to say thank you so much for the conversation. Thank you for inviting me. It's been wonderful to be here together with you both, and I'm just so excited to see what happens with our Rebecca bright future going
Yes.
forward.
Yeah. Thank you again from my side as well. I really enjoyed our conversation, and just your experience, your knowledge, every project that you have going on, and I'm looking forward to September when the project also comes here to Germany. Very excited for that. And it's been wonderful having you here as well. And to our listeners, as always, please contact us if you have any questions or anything else you want to tell us. And then that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and until the next one. Bye.
Ciao.